interrupting the current neo-Euclideal, climate-challenged, behaviorally-controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism. To bring you behind what you said, this is Cricketude-Busting Episode BTWRLM 617. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind a woodshed. Because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch. Get you behind the woodshed. With that dose of reality. We're getting a lot of that. But being free requires removing or avoiding millstones around our necks and not putting new ones and heavier ones on. U.S. Republican lawmakers propose withdrawing from UN, United Nations. Supporters of the measure claim the international organization undermines American interests. Listen very carefully on these. You know I've been talking about this for a long time, but listen carefully. A group of Republican lawmakers has reignited efforts to withdraw the U.S. from the United Nations, claiming that the organization betrays American interests and misallocates taxpayer funds. So right off the bat, look who they're teaming up with at this point. This all sounds well and good, but what's the reason? What's the American interest being undermined? It's supposed to be a national interest, not American, isn't it? So this is a promo piece. This is to persuade the captives. So what's the American interest? Here's the first clue. Lee expressed opposition to, quote, blank checks, close quote, that allow American taxpayer dollars to be directed toward initiatives that, quote, fly in the face of our values, enabling tyrants, betraying allies, and spreading bigotry. Okay, but I don't think he meant that American values agree with enabling tyrants, betraying allies, and spreading bigotry, or did he? Kind of hard to discern, being it is reported, he said, that fly in the face of our values, enabling tyrants, betraying allies, and spreading bigotry. What? Okay, so let's look past that. Change the emphasis in the sentence and believe instead he meant the opposite, that our undermined values enable tyrants, betray allies, and spread bigotry. And looking past the fact the U.S. does those things frequently, but why these lawmakers say America instead of the United States interest, the national interest. The United States is the entity that has to enact these laws. So what's wrong with the statement that fly in the face of our values, enabling tyrants, betraying allies, and spreading bigotry? It isn't a standalone statement. It's actually tied to the following supporters' further racist echoing clarification, which the article didn't dare put together. Let's hear that whole thing in its entirety. Lee expressed opposition to blank checks that allow American taxpayers' dollars to be directed toward initiatives that fly in the face of our values, enabling tyrants, betraying allies, and spreading bigotry. Blackburn echoed this sentiment, accusing the UN of, quote, placating Hamas terrorists and the Chinese Communist Party, close quote. Okay, so it's about the UN supporting the Semitic Palestinians. Well, fancy that. So what's the American interest? Removing the U.S. from the UN membership but Israel. Now, I think of many more reasons that the UN subverts American interest. American being the people. And your property rights for a few, but Israel ain't one of them. Promoting Israel to try to evade genocide by eliminating the direct connection to the international laws that international bodies of nations was to reflect is not an American interest, nor an legitimate U.S. interest, but the machinations of compromised Congress critics, bought off, bribed, or campaign supported by Israel firsters. So this is not a reason to exit the UN, not at all. It's not instructive on why to withdraw from the UN. the comprehensive danger needed to be remembered by future generations, being vigilant against usurpation and foreign domestic enemies is not stated. And the U.S. does not make a better example in its dealings with nations to expose why the U.N. is no longer useful beyond being dangerous. So the United States is not the bastion of global law and order, and therefore peace, to make the U.N. irrelevant. The United States rules-based order is not even close to a substitute, but a further insult. And I don't think the monetary system is not implicated here, and I don't think you should eliminate that either. Everything, actually, since the UN started, even the wrongful recognition of the State of Israel itself, so-called, is implied here. Maybe even back as far as the failed attempt of the League of Nations is re-implicated. The UN has strayed far from its promoted forum nations roots, despite also being shown to be a ruse. Maybe American oil producer financier Rockefeller buying the land upon which the UN building sits is a clue, with the Rockefeller family going, quote, to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, was a motto from there. Or maybe the millions donated to the League of Nations before that for the purpose glowingly stated to enhance its international relations library and promote peace through knowledge and understanding. That failed, and right before the Great Depression was foisted upon America to drive home the point. Do I want to see the U.S. Out of the U.N.? You bet. I want that gone. But it's not the reason why we should be going at this point. My listener knows I'm on the record as to the fact of that point about getting extricating ourselves. But did my listener ever hear me say that I wanted the U.N. to be replaced by another exploiting your super of our way of life, such as by genocidal psychopaths? I won't ask the hopeful to waste your time going through my past broadcasts of over a decade to find out I did not. And while I'm on that, what I didn't speak to, let me go back to something I didn't touch on in this article. In that following clarification, going back to this thing, it's really a promo to set up. The clarification as to the purpose to include China, not just Hamas, where it said accusing the UN of placating Hamas terrorists and the Chinese Communist Party. You're hearing the propaganda right there. That's the future relative to China. It's also a bigoted statement. When the U.S. wants to insult China officially, it uses China's Chinese Communist Party. China is a nation, not a militant group called the Chinese Communist Party, as the Palestinian people are not Hamas. The unbigoted reference to China would be to use the People's Republic of China. Oh, China is not a political party, but a republic too, apparently. And following all this and the way they work this wordage, to be more complete relative to the UN, at least Russia and Iran would have had to have been included in that compromised Congress creator statement. Hamas is not a nation, but a part of a belligerent occupied Semitic people of little, if any, consequence to America or legitimate American interests. So I'll have to say the emphasis on the statement, quote, that fly in the face of our values, enabling tyrants, betraying allies, and spreading bigotry, should be placed on the values of the U.S. government operatives of spreading bigotry. And this compromised myopic bigotry worldview is reiterated by old program Nick-eared Trump, where it says Trump withdrew the U.S. from the UNHRC, defunded UNRWA, and initiated a review of relations with UNESCO. You usually hear this, UNESCO. People try to say words for these. They're not proper. Anyway, claiming that the agencies act against U.S. interests to perpetrate anti-Semitism, criticisms that resemble Israel's accusations against these institutions. So this is about preserving genocidal Zionisms, wrongly using anti-Semitism to cover war crimes of a political movement originating in the late 1800s, using Judaism as a cover. And that's supposed to be an American interest? See, but we'll take the UN withdrawal, won't we? And that's the problem with these exploitive, self-chosen, dare I say, woke, political identity parasites operating under color of being your representative to hide their foreign agency while they compromise your interests in America. And of which all these folks, I'm beginning to think, all these uniparty compromised congregators need to be registered as foreign agents. What do you think? And on the road to being more free from the threat of nuclear glow, certainly if the UN is on the way out, it's a very good thing to hear diplomacy is on the way back in and should have never left here. As we can read this week, and I think this is a really big story, folks. My delivery is on this, this is such a big deal. I said it last episode, I'm going to say it again, just reading this stuff. There's a chance for it. There's an opportunity. But we'll see how this plays out. We have to read very carefully on what we see and what to expect. And I noticed that was an error in lots of people discussing what was happening here. Russia and U.S. will have to clean up after Biden, says Lavrov. And I want you to watch how they play this game in the public, how they clean it up and they make a new slate so they can go move on. And they can wipe the past away and all of a sudden, like, nothing's on the table, no more to worry about. And we're going to move forward. And I think that may be a good thing to do, but they don't necessarily need to blame the current regime to allow it happen. And you hear that title right there. Russia and U.S. will have to clean up after Biden. Talks in Saudi Arabia were the first steps toward normalizing relations between the two states, Russia top diplomat has said. Moscow and Washington need to clean up the legacy left by the former U.S. President Joe Biden's administration that ruined the ties between the two states, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, he said. Speaking at the Russian State Duma on Wednesday, having returned from the talks with U.S. diplomats in the Saudi capital on Tuesday, Lavrov described the meeting in Riyadh as the first step toward rebuilding relations between the countries. The bilateral negotiations were led by Lavrov and U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and aim to lay the groundwork for ending the Ukraine conflict and normalizing ties between the U.S. and Russia. And let me interject that phrase. They've been repeating that over and over, but listen, why I'm even talking about this, we've got to listen even closer. That meeting wasn't about that, actually. Quote, we have started to move away from the brink of the abyss to which the Biden administration has led us, but these are only first steps, Lavrov told lawmakers, commenting on the talks. Quote, for now, we need to clean up the legacy of the Biden administration, which did everything to destroy the foundation of long-term partnership between our countries, he added. According to the diplomat, quote, the movement towards normalizing relations in all areas is beginning. So a lot of responding commentators have, in the United States, have gotten it wrong. If we listened or read closely, this meeting, as Lavrov said, was done towards normalizing relations, nothing more. It wasn't about deciding on or about Ukraine, despite there being a lot of useless clamor and speculation and hangering about that with the prostitutes, the slivertutes, and those spineless European officials we heard. Boy, they can cry up a storm, can't they? Who in any regard are irrelevant as we move this thing through. But Zelensky is also irrelevant, except for maybe the trouble he can cause as a trapped, if seemingly insignificant, little predator. But my first impression was about what the purpose of the diplomats of this initial meeting was simply to agree what type of napkins they were going to be used at the meeting of the presidents once things got worked out. But I found out, despite knowing this wasn't a meeting about peacetime in Ukraine, I didn't even read close enough, or at least didn't consider the matter using diplomatic logic about what was intended there until I read one article that said that the purpose of the meetings was to reestablish the lines of communication. And it didn't mention anything definitely about Ukraine. So Lavrov redefined the purpose in a subsequent meeting speaking there at the Russian Duma. Notwithstanding what the press reported, this article repeats the very same thing and continues to characterize the meeting being the normalization of diplomatic relations. Instead, Lavrov clarified, we were not talking about the normalization of diplomatic relations. They exist. It's about removing artificial obstacles that complicate the daily functioning of our embassies and consulates general. We have provided a list of issues that need to be addressed in terms of ensuring the normal operation of our diplomatic missions. Among these issues is the ownership issue that you mentioned. So that means they aren't even there to decide which napkins that they wanted. So that was a clarification for me. So you can't decide about that table setting until you establish the pathway to get to the meeting. And there's so many more preparatory considerations before and after that, which can tactically travel at a snail's pace. And the U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio subsequently concurred with Lavrov, saying the U.S. and Russia sought to restore normal diplomatic relations during this week's talks in Saudi Arabia because global nuclear powers must communicate to resolve conflicts such as the one in Ukraine, is how far this diplomatic breakdown actually got. How exceedingly close to an apocalypse we may have been, as admitted by Russia, as I reported last episode as well. The failure of the sort of diplomacy and the consequence of this should never be allowed to happen again, ever, ever, ever. And except this failure wasn't just Biden regime or about Ukraine or Russia, was it? The failure really is systemic. And we're now having to come to a reckoning. And don't forget about that part, that's a silent rule working right now, that at least a better thought is in the seats of decision right now. They have a lot of hard leaning on the tiller right now, the ship of state, to bring it back in the right direction. And they cannot mess this up. So while I don't know that it's a finish, Lavrov's not even saying it's over and done. They're just getting this thing mended back together, just to start functioning again. And we're going to see some time, like I said, that snail's pace tactically working. That'll also work into play on how the governments do this. But anyway, I'll just say it's a good thing to see. They're at least back together. They were talking. And you notice they didn't talk about Ukraine as the subject. They talked about nuclear war consequences. That nuclear glow I've opened my broadcast with for a couple years now. How close we have been, and it looks like that wasn't a joke. That wasn't hyperbole. That was a clear observation of what really nations need to do with each other, for each other, and with each other to avoid all this nonsense. But even Zelensky didn't listen too close, and he figured he'd retaliate, which is likely a bad deal for him, striking here U.S. interests in Russia, likely with British help, I would think. The more I read about it, the more I think about it, the more I look for what's going on, the support that's coming down, as Zelensky really is on the outs now, quick, really happening fast. But look what's going on in Europe now, too, and you see the big shakeup that's happening, and I think it's a good thing. And I think, but that gives Trump a lot of places to go, but I'm not so sure he's going to do it. He's still hanging around, keeping his toe in lukewarm areas, and that he shouldn't actually do it. He thinks he wants to use them like bargaining chips. They're really not. That's what he's going to try and play off. As soon as people figure this out, that's not going to work for him. But we'll see how far he can bluster his way through. He seems to be pretty good at it. So I'm not going to undermine much of that until we see that it either does or doesn't work. Like NATO, dragging the United States and everybody through NATO. They should just end that thing. Just get rid of it. That would be a big sigh of relief for Russia. One less thing on the table to even have to deal with. And then Europe can go ahead and they can wring their hands all they want and cry all they want. They just have to develop their own private mutual defense. The United States doesn't even have to be involved. The United States is big enough. If it needs to be involved, it just involves itself. But a day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year, there's no threat from Russia. So even if there was, we would have to get involved. It would be nasty. It's going back to nuclear war. But that's not going to happen. They're fighting hard right now not to make it happen. It's not going to happen in the future. Russia doesn't need Europe. And especially as beat down as it is right now, that the United States made it that way. So Russia's just letting the accidents happen over there. They don't have to do anything with it. They got their own focus. But Zelensky decided he was going to try and interfere and do a little tantrum, I guess. Zelensky's drone strike, a tactical move to undermine Trump's oil price goals. Ukraine's drone attack on the Kropotkin Trikinskaya oil pumping station in Russia last night could be considered a calculated blow to U.S. business interests and a personal insult to U.S. President Donald Trump. The station's owner, Caspian Pipeline Consortium, is not subject to U.S. sanctions, and a significant portion of the company's stock is owned by American shareholders. The attack also runs in the face of Trump's efforts to lower oil prices to the benefit both the United States and the American people. See that difference right there? I'll tell you, I highlighted the difference. American interest or U.S. interest? There it is right there. National interest? Which interest is that? Whom exactly? So when I make these distinctions, they may be arbitrary for you or for the listener. Some of you understand what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. They are distinctions that you have to keep track of. These terms are different. They mean different things. They have different consequences, whether by themselves or together. You see the report saying there's a distinction between a U.S. interest and an American interest. American people, as I say, the American people. Look, here we go. Let's just keep on this one. The drone attack, along with other strikes on Russia's oil infrastructure, may help maintain oil prices at their current level or even push them higher by decreasing supply. Could Volodymyr Zelensky be trying to lash out against Trump to make it look like Ukraine has leverage on the United States by threatening American business interests? Well, it doesn't matter, does it? Far and away above any American business interest, the expired one attacked a natural resource. That's a war crime. Is President Trump calling that out? Oh, wait. To do that, Trump would have to acknowledge the war crimes the U.S. is committing in Ukraine and Palestine and Syria, stealing the oil elsewhere. So Trump would also have to acknowledge the trust breach the United States government and states commit against its land disposal patentees. Oh, I admit he's a hypocrite and deceiver, disinterested in domestic and international norms and relations. And then how genuine is the domestic grantor or international diplomat on the part of the United States? No one else thinks Russia doesn't observe this U.S. duplicity beyond warm and fuzzy kumbaya conversations toward restarting diplomatic relations? I hope my listener did. I hope my listener appreciates what the U.S. government does or does not do out there, that it's doing to or not doing for us at home. Like system failures or like the P.T. Barnum Muskrat's Doge dividend suggestion. Now, I understand that following up on this that actually, Trump is up with that. But at any rate, wow, these things, they can go so fast that people can't respond. And that's part of the technique here. But the distraction, the stuff is a distraction and a fraud. The savings generated by federal spending cuts implemented by the new Department of Government Efficiency could be used for a sizable one-time refund to all U.S. taxpayers, DOGE head Elon Musk has suggested. I got to remind you all, folks, I hope you're keeping track. I hope you are keeping track. I shouldn't have to remind you. I should be embarrassed that I have to think that I do. I hope you'd be getting this. I just need you to remember and know. The Department of Government Efficiency is an advisory council, not an actual department. Yes, it's doing a lot of stuff, but it has a mandate to go seek out information and bring it back to the White House, not even to President Trump. Remember, I read that. So let's keep everything in order here. Elon Musk is really pushing a big point. I think he really should be being quiet at some level. I see the benefit of what he's doing, but it's all, again, a distraction and a fraud. And you're going to say, well, how is that a fraud, to explain open frauds? Well, it's what he's doing and how he's doing it, and how, with the claims that they're making. And then how Trump just jumps on them. Like, he doesn't have a thought in his brain about it. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. But I want you to think about the fact of the statement and giving money back to people or to people from the government, and what happened during COVID and what happened to the economy after that happened. It's not going to be different than this, and that's not even the hard part I'm thinking about. That's just the cover on this that should be something that everybody should be starting to, wait a minute, what's hold it. We just saw this. What'd you do to us? What's shifting now? But anyway, this article, sounds great. Doge Dividends. So he has a cool name, right? So catchy. He argued that Doge dividends would work to compensate U.S. taxpayers for the egregious misuse and abuse of their hard-earned tax dollars that DOGE has uncovered and incentivized people to report more instances of waste and fraud. And there's a law about that. He's not just Doge. Waste, fraud, and abuse is a complaint you can do when you don't have the proof. And you got to be doing what you're doing there. It's a serious allegation. But there's rewards. You know, I'm thinking that they made these guys government employees, so when the government finds out about them, that there's not going to be a reward. You get, I think it's up to a third. It might be 10%, but I thought it was up to a third, depending. But anyway, you uncover this stuff, you get a reward. And that's partly what they want to do. That's like a citizen suit. So this is not something he's just saying, oh, they're going to give largesse. Doge is giving largesse. No, this is a law. And this is the thing that's stunning to me about this. It took somebody inside the White House to give a special license to now a government, they call it a department, to go looking on something that should have been audited all the time. There's many levels of audit, if you will, in the government over this stuff. And it just has, it's never been seemingly done. Or with the proper eye, or without an internal incentive to conflict of interest. But here we have it, and we're getting to see good things. However, it's a cover. Doge has no way to know whether those funds are actually properly wrong. His claims, Elon Musk's claims, are not an argument. This article says he makes the argument. The claims are not argument, but merely advisory, and they're based only upon unaudited suggestions, which can't be shown to be true yet. They wouldn't be dividends either, would they? Think about that word. And think about this also. Go back to your tax law, the income tax law. Go look at your state law about income tax and read. That's your definition for federal of what's taxable. And you'll find the word dividends. It's the investments in companies that invest, corporations. Okay? You doing that? If you're doing that, I want you to rethink your government and your relationship to it. But let's go with this. There are no dividends, like he's saying here. This is all promotion. That's a fraud. Just a characterization. They wouldn't be dividends, nor would they be compensation. Think about that. Think about what equity requires for compensation. But it all sounds real good to gain the buy-in for a public buy-off. Yes, continuing that systemic corruption, which even this, as with the diplomacy restart, we haven't gotten to the back of the napkin scribbling confirmation stage yet. And like their error prone nation, is that a word? In this context, it is now, I think. Error-prone nation. The tech swap products are error-prone. The same guy that's doing this audit has all these claims to make. Works on error-prone stuff that has problems. He didn't put a rocket into space without problems. And yet he comes out right now and sells everybody to the public buy-in that they need while they do other confiscations and monopolizations. Has Elon Musk's Doge website been hacked? What we know. The website of a newly created Department of Government Efficiency, Doge, which tech billionaire Elon Musk heads, is based around a database that can, quote, be edited by anyone, close quote, according to a report first published by news outlet 404 Media. At 6:30 a.m. ET on Friday, the website's homepage contained a box seen by Newsweek with, quote, "This is a joke of a gov website," close quote. Written in large letters, while screenshots show the text previously read, "These experts left their database open," Roro. Two website development experts told 404 Media that the DOGE website appeared to have been based around a Cloudflare pages site that wasn't hosted by government servers. Well, the Hillary Clinton stuff wasn't either, was it? Consequently, edits to the database, which third parties could make due to the lack of security, would appear on the DOGE.gov site. But third parties, as in third-party vulnerability, in all public, private, or fascist relationships. Correct? Yeah, it's kind of like that. Right, P.T. Barnum Muskrat? Keep the Republic much? Coding expert Sam Curry on X, formerly Twitter, The DOG e-site appears to be developed and hosted by Outburst Data, run by current DOGE employee Kyle Shute. Shut? It appears the DOGE team has since fixed the issue with their website, as the messages are now gone. Whether they will succeed in their primary goal of substantially reducing federal government spending remains to be seen. So if that was your data, is that the sort of techno-swamp future you want? Is the problem with what's going on right in front of our faces, but they keep hidden. Because the Vampire Squid Trillionaire Club is right behind them. Hidden ties behind Ozempic, Maker's billion-dollar empire, BlackRock, and Vanguard's role exposed. I'm just going to make this comment in this article. If you do any study at all of BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, any number of these other ones, it's like five that are really, really at the top. Bankers now. Just investment house. They're now bankers. You'll see the top. You'll start seeing them over and over and over, and their investment, their influence, and their over-representation. And no one's stopping it. But anyway, this story, you see the ties right in there. You see the karma coming hat in hand to the president, who is either clueless or getting a cut behind the scenes later. Maybe even now, who knows? Can't be found yet. They're not investigating that. To give us the Stargate, remember? Yeah, it's all like that. The vampire squid's everywhere. And there's nobody really looking at that. And Elon Musk is not exposing it. He's part of it. Despite warnings about the dangers of type 2 diabetes drug Ozempic, its makers, Novo Nordisk, an esteemed member of Big Pharma, continues to profit. So that these biggest chosen banker parasites care about giving people diabetes? It just means that the victims will be on yet another Pharma product from a company they have an interest in and take profits and advantage through. To bribe your representatives, they call it campaign or other contributions, to enact more legislation for further future plunder and victimization. Recently, the firm became Europe's most valuable company with a market cap of over $350 billion, bravo dollars, as Hollywood stars and celebrities praised its products. And I even think, I didn't go look at this, Muskrat 2, right? Celebrities like Muskrat 2. Is that right? Elon Musk does this too? Yeah. He's pretty got his face all everywhere, right? Big PR condition going on with him too. I told you, he's got too much exposure. And he has even more now. I start to wonder, are these new technologies able to cause some sort of mind control, like those parasitic fungi I've mentioned in the past? The article goes on, however, the question remains, can you get any shadier than profiting from a potentially dangerous drug, especially with Novo Nordisk's ties to controversial firms? And let's thank the great Comey Swindle for that. We were pretty much clueless at some level of the integration with all this, how tied up it is. And in particular, even though I identified it back in right at 2019 ends, the ends there too, before it starts to go, the military talk, that they were going to be right there. But that was I told you, Operation Hindsight 2020 was our look back to September 11th and what happened there. And it was just going to be a retest. Did we figure it out? And I think the evidence is in now. We didn't. Nobody did. We did it after the fact, but only upon the thing called the COVID. They were called the COVID. That's all we focused on as people. But what's the controversial part here? The government removed liability and imposed the requirement to make corporate profit. The controversial part is people don't insist government needs to make the public good a mandate again and separate investment funds from banking. Oh, and while we're at it, and the Fed, debt-based currency, and civil rights, those known as taxes and other exactions of every kind to no other. What you say? Taxes are a civil right? Yep, go read it. Read it for yourself. the 42 USC 1981. Just type that in right together. Smash it all together. 42 USC 1981. Go to the Cornell website. Read it for yourself. Just put 42 USC 1981 all smashed up together in a search engine and select the Cornell University link and read it for yourself. It's short. You won't get lost. Well, unless you begin to think about it, what you just read there. That'll open up a whole bunch of new doors. That might take a while to appreciate, but what you've just read is civil rights extortion. I've been saying this forever and ever. I was shocked when I read it. I found it by accident. They don't tell you where this stuff is. You come across it. Boy, even out of my tiredest moment, my dry ball, bleeding eyeballs, it woke me up and cleared the, took all the red out. I'll tell you what, reading that. Hey, what? Well, there it is. Well, one of them. And then now consider how the world, how all the world is like this and what's going on. Global civil rights. Equal rights under law. Global extortion. The dark side of profits and big pharma traces among Novo Nordisk's top institutional shareholders are BlackRock and Vanguard Group owning 5% and 2.5% of its Class B stock, respectively. Well, BlackRock owning 5%, that would not make that Novo Nordisk very organic, would it? That would violate the organic definition for organic things, wouldn't it? 5% is too much. But 5% is what they allow. Isn't that interesting? How is something not junk food if it's got poison, 5% poison in it? Has always been a question for me. No one's had an answer to that yet. But both firms have a history of profiting from conflicts, including those in Gaza and Ukraine, where they've been involved in land acquisitions amidst the chaos. You don't think they're not doing that elsewhere? Palisades? Hawaii? Ukraine? You just mentioned that? I read the article months ago about that investment. Shady connections. BlackRock has a well-documented history of profits and profiting from conflicts, particularly in Gaza and Ukraine, where they have been heavily involved in land acquisitions while locals face turmoil. As I've said, I don't know the actual value of a barrel of turmoil, but it is apparently a very lucrative commodity, especially if the money changers help support a crisis they don't allow to go to waste, providing the solution to their profit, diminishing ever more so everyone. Vanguard has similarly been criticized for its involvement in the quiet purchase of large swaths of land, particularly in conflict zones where people are distracted by ongoing violence. If you think that's out there and not in the United States, you've been looking too close. So how does this tie back to Novo Nordisk? Well, when major players like BlackRock and Vanguard are heavily invested in a company, it's not just about financial returns. They can shape the corporate direction, often with little regard for the ethical implications of the products that may help market. Other notable shareholders of Novo Nordisk, in addition to BlackRock and Vanguard, there are a few more heavy hitters that round out the top shareholders of Novo Nordisk. So some of these companies have their own controversial reputations. Morgan Stanley at 0.42%. Bank of America Corporation at 0.42%. Don't you find that interesting? They're the same. Like they get the same marching orders. Goldman Sachs Trust 2. Well, there's a Trust 1, too. I wonder how many they got. Goldman Sachs, GQG, Partners International Opportunities Fund, 0.7% Class B stock. But we're not hearing about the changes for this plunder for profit by Musk or Trump, are we? So we the people have our work cut out to us, I think. Even if we ever will, get behind the woodshed with these self-serving parasitic miscreants. They're not going to make it easy. And there's a lot of us. And guess what? We might actually have some AI we can use too. Although I've told you don't rely on it. Have it give you a general direction. Make sure you plot your course very, very well. improve up yourself. So you wonder how far the tentacles of the vampire squid go when you hear this article in Promo. It doesn't harm us. Russian scientist busts myths about microplastics. Microplastics are among the most widely discussed environmental topics today. Well, they were just recently behind woodshed. We've been finding out the studies of scientists doing research and telling us how they do it so we can think through how that works. And it seems relatively clear to me that there's something there and it shouldn't be dismissed. But we're going to have this Russian scientist tell us it's a myth. The media often highlights the harmful effects of polymer nanoparticles on living organisms. However, as the head of the Department of Polymer and Crystal Physics at Moscow State University and a member of the Russian Academy of Sciences, Alexei Kokolov, told RT, there is no scientific basis for these claims. Let me interject on there. How many times have we heard that, and what's the explanation? Just like we saw the great COVID swindle in the CDC, if they're not going to look at it, they're not going to see it. If they're not going to test for it, they're going to see it. There's no evidence. Now what are we going to do? Kokolov argues, again, all these people argue, and so they're opening themselves to answer, and their argument may fail right up front, but he argues. It's not settled, bro, right there. I want to point this stuff out. It's very important. Musk argues that these things are the way they are. And I explained that you can't explain, if you didn't think about it, that there's nothing that's proven at the point of a suggestion that it looks like there's something wrong. There's so much behind a government appropriation and then spending and contracts that has to be kept right and made right. A bunch of things that they have to check out that Musk can't tell from a ledger sheet actually where something's at. Anyway, he argues, and because it's not a settled thing, he doesn't have the say either. So this guy is a scientist. I'm not going to diminish his capacity as the crystal physics department of polymer head, but that's not my point here. Going through, as he argues that microplastic particles are no more hazardous to humans than tiny wood or concrete particles which exist in the environment in much greater quantities. So again, he argued. What's the proof for his argument? It's still only an argument, not a definitive conclusion. And you have to go quite a ways into the article to find his scientific proof that the microplastics do no harm. He says the proof that the microplastics do no harm is that there is no evidence that the microplastic particles are particularly harmful. And he backs that proof up with his next corroborating proof, redundantly expanding it by saying synthetic polymers. Like, he's talking about man-made things. There's nothing that's not synthetic at that point. But at any rate, synthetic polymers, however, evoke fear because they are unfamiliar and artificial. But there's no evidence to suggest they act differently than other particles. So just like the CDC and the FDA saying something is safe and effective because there's no evidence of harms means something is safe and effective. Do you believe that? Because there is no evidence of harm that a thing is not harmful? Means it's safe and effective? So the problem here is what you did not hear, nor will you find in the article. But the experiments, this Russian, apparently renowned expert as well, did to exhaust the potential that the harm is not being done. And he dismisses laboratory studies that claim harmful effects because they are often conducted using extremely high concentrations of microplastics that do not reflect real-world scenarios, but never points out more than this objection. Not a follow-up study and confirmation, nor the long-term comprehensive study as to cumulative effects. And we've certainly had many decades to have had that done, don't you think? And remember, too, we've, just in the last decade or so, have found out how small the concentration or interactions are that can cause epigenetic effects or damage. That was, I told you at the time, that was a bit of a shocker to me. Our genes can be changed in real time as it is. Never heard of that before. The expert even sidesteps the direct question of the prior science about nanoplastics, which studies ought to have at least discussed perceived harms or effects, with studies without his mentioning either way. He offers no answers which is irresponsive as a comparative reference to other nanoparticle substances also not studied for harms. So this thing about the concrete and the wood, there's no study. But remember, safety studies are risk-based too on this. How much harm is deemed acceptable, not actually about safety. Remember, that's even the standard for wildfire. The management is risk-based. It's not suppression. It's not getting rid of the problem, not curing the fire. No, it's what this whole thing is set up. It's very profitable to run down this way. Plus, obviously, if you don't see a harm, you just go full speed ahead, right? And that is an important bit of information where you might be interested in why you all of a sudden have cankles sprouting communication antenna, and you need to stop them, not just have the doctor prescribe an expensive depilatory instead of getting at the root of the problem. You don't need no communicating cankles. And I'd like to remind you from the episode Behind the Woodshed last week of the study that found that these nanoplastic particles at least cause systemic traffic jams, obstructions and delays of bodily functions, and an additional taxing of the immune system as the body tries to deal with them. That it is at least an unnecessary energy drain, which I've never heard of is any good at all. It's not a good thing. And these traffic jams were enough to cause concern in the scientists, observers advocating for further studies in light of the other known harms, and referencing no other work from anyone looking into the problem, not even from this Russian expert. Just like the CDC or FDA, the Russian head of Department of Polymer and Crystal Physics at Moscow University State and a member of the Russian Academy of Sciences expert promotes the very same narrative. And notice he's a chemist, but pragmatic as he might be, he's not a biologist or specializing in cell or immune or holistic bodily system functions. You think that this is a big global plan, what's going on? If we don't look, there's no evidence. Just like Sergeant Schultz, I see. Therefore, nothing is going on in the Hogan Heroes Pharma Better Living Through Chemistry sitcom we live in. Is that about what we're getting at here? Right? We understand this. Same answer from Russia. Here, the same thing that I keep telling you about. They want to talk about being different. They also talk about being sustainable. That's the side that's going to do the corruption, is in their sciences alone. And when I first started reading that article about the wood and concentrations and the concrete, yeah, I guess that's true. That makes a good sense right up front. It doesn't hold water real quick. It doesn't, because there's no real evidence, and he doesn't bring any. And that was a little bit shocking for a scientist not to bring any evidence and to rely on the same thing that the CDC or the FDA or the State Department under Biden administration said the same thing. We don't see no genocide. Well, did you look? Well, we kind of looked. We kind of smudged the window a little bit. But no, we don't see no genocide. We don't see no harm. Everything's safe and effective. Well, again, safe for whom and effective for what? And we'll find out it's not such a good thing for us. Another far-out myth busted, but for reals this time, not by an expert. This story is Rich Seeing Rumble has removed over 80 RealLibertyMedia.com content syndicating accounts that were providing better reach than the ones that we've been left with. Rumble and Truth Social take on pro-censorship Brazilian judge in major lawsuits. One of the things themes of this broadcast is lots of the broadcasts seem to be is watch, you know, what they're doing with their left hand, watch out about the right hand. Be careful of the presentation they make and what they're really doing behind the scenes or what's going on behind the scenes that they aren't going to be talking about. Again, you know them when you see them is a very big rule, always. Don't worry about what they say, watch what they do. Video streaming platform Rumble and Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company of Truth Social, have filed a lawsuit against controversial Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes, accusing him of unconstitutional censorship that violates U.S. law. The lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for Middle District of Florida claims that Moraes has engaged in the ultra-vires beyond his legal authority actions to silence political dissent and force American companies to comply with extraterritorial gag orders. Well, this is interesting what Trump's doing here when I apply that to what Ukraine just did to American interest in Russia, isn't it? Extraterritorial gag orders, extraterritorial drone destruction on American companies. We said we heard nothing. Well, we haven't heard quite nothing, but it's not going to go the way people think it's going. The lawsuit further argues that these orders censor legitimate political discourse in the United States, undermining fundamental constitutional protections enshrined in the First Amendment. According to the complaint, the orders are an attempt to enforce Brazilian speech restrictions on American soil. So extraterritoriality aside, because Rumble, I believe, is a Kanukistanian corporation, not American. Is that correct? You can maybe fill me in. Didn't have a chance to go check that down. I thought I saw multiple articles saying that. What sort of hypocrisy is this? Rumble silences, removes, obliterates, eradicates the reach of this broadcast and the rest of the valuable knowledge provided by RealLibertyMedia.com while complaining a government is denying reach and reaching too far. So apparently it's okay for a corporation to do this, but not a government. And why is Truth Social aligning itself with a lying and deceptive platform like Rumble that says only corporations can silence content providers? So one needs to ask, why is President Trump's platform aligning with liars, deceivers, and hypocrites? And maybe any of y'all that care might consider asking each of those parties, the Brazilian government, Rumble, Truth Social, and particularly President Trump, why any support Rumble is giving any support to Rumble in their hypocritic and unfair challenge, entering the court with unclean hands, allowing unwarranted censorship of every dose of reality provided behind the woodshed on Rumble's platform, enforcing Rumble or corporate speak upon the world. And I say you have to do it because we cannot get, they will not answer sounds for emails in checking and figuring out. So we are stopped. But that last bit of that, that's back to territoriality, isn't it? Corporate speak upon the world, the territoriality. So send this message today. Stop your hypocrisy and leave us alone to freely speak. Just send them that message. Ask them, what in the heck do you think you're doing here, Rumble? Why is Truth Social supporting them? Now, I have to think about that a little bit. If you think about it, ex-Twitter eventually, really quickly, complied with a foreign country's sovereign decision. Whatever ex-Twitter Musk's opinion about that judge. I didn't like hearing what he was doing, but that's not for me to say. Why are we going into there? Why is a Kanukistanian company using American law as well? And so we have two parties probably using different statuses. And I'm wondering, does Rumble even have a status there standing to sue in that case? But neither here nor there. I'm not even analyzing the case. I really wish not to. Rumble is a deceiver. Rumble is a corporate deceiver. It's in the system of money and making and taking advantage and exploiting under a color of decentralized free speech. And RealLibertyMedia.com is seeing none of them. It's a Rumble, a fight in order to keep anything on the platform. And you understand, anybody who listens to my broadcast, you're not hearing a lot of cussing unless those words that I use are cussing words. They're not cussing words I use. Unless they're subject matter sensitive, I don't say anything that should be a censorable item. In particular, I guess maybe they just don't like being having people know that your civil rights is extortion and taxpaying. That's what extortion is. Maybe they don't like that. Anyway, doesn't matter. This is a real problem. This is an injustice on its face. Rumble does not have clean hands to walk into that court and plead an equity case. Why is Trump helping them? And this is the major, when you start looking at it this way, you start realizing, for as much as people may cheerlead for Trump, he's not Lily White. He will play the game and to get ahead and to exploit. I don't agree that Brazil should have the right to shut people down, but you don't do it like Rumble's doing it for sure. You don't go in and say, oh, you government of Brazil, you don't have the right to cut us out or challenge our content, and then turn around and challenge the content provider. Take them out. Without reason, you have to understand. As I said before, I don't want to harp on this too much. It's really irritating and frustrating to me. But the claims that are being made and not supported, and then more people keep coming, and these companies make more and more money, that you're voting with your dollars, whether or not you actually give them any money. They make it on the ads or whatever scam they got going with those things. They make it with just the presentation of the ad, mill by mill. And interesting too, mill is the property tax value is based on mill, one thousandth of the value is taxed. I always find that interesting. Like the websites are landed territory and they're being taxed by the company who owns them. Pretty fascinating. They take on censorship of a Brazilian judge, and yet Rumble censors. It's pretty hypocritical. And the more we be quiet about it, and the more people tolerate it, the longer this continues. And this is the real serious problem. Everybody, maybe people shrug their shoulders, what can I do about it? Well, make your voice known. That's probably the only thing we really have. And be persistent about it. And be right about your principles about applying them. So while Rumble may take on this judge, maybe they get something out of it, then they turn around and they deny you on something that isn't actually protected by the same thing they're claiming. Think about that one too. Talk about double standards. Anyway, I would have never thought about this about Rumble. I had my suspicions when it went public. And here we have it now. We're seeing the direct action of censorship under the cover of free speech and decentralization. And it couldn't be censored. We could not be censored if it wasn't centralized. If you think about that part as well. And speak about corporate speak and who ultimately controls the bribed media. Tim Pool joins Rumble, bringing exclusive content to Rumble Premium. Oh, there's another level of censorship, isn't it? Another level of second-class citizen. Now we see on Rumble. Poole himself shared his excitement about the move, calling Rumble, quote, the home of honest and real conversations, he added. Quote, working together, we will expand our exclusive programs to sports, gaming, and feature-length documents as we make history as the premier location for authentic voices and content. How is he saying that? Unless he's Rumble himself. Anyway, he said that. Well, we've got over 80 accounts destroyed by Rumble itself. Doesn't sound too honest or real in the conversation. Will people listen to this tool instead of getting behind the woodshed? Yeah, well, there's no justice in the world. Or more accurately, there's only so much justice people will demand. And so we suffer or are entertained by well-paid tools promoted by corporate media, such as Rumble, and likely Trump's Truth Social, given its cohabitation with Rumble's decentralized free speech lies and hypocrisy. They're going to be making bank. Well, Real Liberty Media has a tough time making coffee. That reminds me, it's February fundraising month, and I missed that last week. I was remiss to call it out. And part of that was me been asking a lot for donations to get us moving through a lot quicker than we would have done it for February, but we found out that we really weren't walking away from the February donation month. We're in it. We're already a week past it. If you could step up for our month, and we're going to actually try to get back to that. I think that's a fun thing to do. We only ask 1 year out of the year. You can donate any time, actually. But we have such ongoing work and demand that requires donations more regularly now to bring the station back up, bring it into being a station again, bring it into some utility. And as I said, it's a different plan we're working on behind the scenes to make it really decentralized. You, the listener, will choose, and we're sort of hidden in the system so that it'll be a lot through the app more than like what we see today. And but anyway, so if you can step up to the donation basket and do what you can, find the links. If you, I think it's on XYZ or .com, reallibertyv.com. Scroll to the bottom. There's a bunch of little icons. Find the one that will help you quickest and what you want to do there. You can buy the crew a coffee or do, I think, PayPal and whatever you can do. And it's not limited to the cash. If you have talent and you think you can put something forward, contact Sound Minds. A lot of times he's in the chat there, too, on the website. So just jump in there and talk to him there. But if you're a content provider, provide content for people. Be part of that discussion in the world. Contact him and he'll help decide. You can just talk with him what you want to do, how to set it up, and he'll tell you which side. You know, we got audio, we got video. Sometimes we have a blend. We've got publications, just like before, but it's trying to become even more organized. And you can offer all that. It's not just about what money people may have or not. And so what we're doing, and I noticed that we're needing a few more bucks. Sound has done a great job in reducing the costs immensely behind the scenes, even though we continue to ask. And we're going to have to continue to ask. It just seems to be an ongoing thing. But we're not asking millions. We're not a Tim Tool. We're not a private investment turned public Wall Street Rumble that lies. So it's a lot tougher, and there's a lot of inventive things going on to keep us running. On top of it all, it's not about money. It's about putting mind to it, you know, ingenuity, to get things to work out, to work around these problems. But if you could, please, February month, we're going to be asking particularly here, I'll be asking these next couple of weeks, if you could be remembering to do what you can, as you can. Like I said, it goes throughout the year, but this is the month we try to do the big push. So all the bills, the money's in for all the bills, and it just takes a big load off the mind. Like it did with Grimner. He would just say, I've got these bills. He'd come up with cash up front. We'd come in with the donations. And by the end of the month, he was quiet again. Everything, he didn't have no sweat on his brow. And on with the show, if you will. So thank you very much for sticking with me on that. And I'm more excited, as excited with the donations to keep the funds coming. I really would like to see more content providers. Have a scheduled spot to show up and do your thing live, or have a spot people know to come in time and do your thing recorded, and have a time when people can show up to the network when they know you're there. And I think that's going to be a big deal. I've always thought it was. Whenever I was on a network, it always seemed to work synergistically. We're hampered at that right now. There's just not many people on the network. So I'm encouraging you to step up. You got a word in your mouth, and it's, you know, it's the fact, the truth. Just bring it forward. Don't be afraid that you don't know how. We all started somewhere. We all started somehow. We went through our weeks and weeks of stress and unsurety, and still worked through. And boy, you know, you listen to the first broadcast I did. I should have never started, but here we are today. Maybe I should have never started, but we're still going. See, just keep plugging. Just keep plugging. Don't question what you know. If you know it, just put it out there for people. This is BTWRLM 617. A North American agreement with committing genocide is not limited to United States as we continue to rumble norther than America. Canada arrests prominent activist author over pro-Palestinian stance. So I just wonder whether or not the owner of Rumble get it from this, to shut people out when he wants to, make it up as you go, and lie through your teeth. I don't know. it's going to have a really good, clear explanation to me. But moving on to this back, serious things going on here. It's who you learn not to be able to complain against, I suppose, as well. Police in Canada have arrested a Canadian activist, an author, for criticizing Israel and its genocidal war against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Ives Engler, a vocal critic of Israel and the Canadian military complex, was arrested on Thursday after Dahlia Kurtz, a Zionist influencer, accused him of harassment. Quote, "Tomorrow the Montreal police will arrest me for posting to social media against Israel's genocide in Gaza," Engler said in an article on Wednesday after Montreal police reached out to him about their plan to arrest him because of Kurtz's complaint, pointing out that he had responded to Kurtz's racist, violent, anti-Palestinian posts on X Twitter. Engler said he had not harassed the influencer who, quote, "supports killing Palestinian children and openly calls for state violence against those challenging Canadian complicity in genocide." So I don't hear Zionist and genocidal sympathizer Kurtz being reached out to by Montreal police about their plans to arrest her, which means that the government of Montreal is an accomplice to the promotion of genocide and the oppression of an illegally belligerent, occupied people, which the people of Kanukistan, if it intends to be Canada, cannot be okay with. If one person can't speak out for the oppressed, no one should be able to speak out, because clearly, if someone is prohibited from speaking out about oppression, then there is no free speech, and the people in Canada should not be okay with that. Does the King of England know about this failure of the Magna Carta? Quote, "I've never met Kurtz, nor have I messaged or emailed her, nor have I threatened her. I don't even follow her on X Twitter. Algorithms put her posts in my feed. The father of two was taken into custody on Thursday in the morning and appeared before a judge later in the day. He spent the night in jail, and a bail hearing has been set for Friday. And that judge should be taken out of office." After, well, that wasn't in the story, I just added that. After he publicized his scheduled arrest, police pledged new charges of harassing police and obstructing their work against Engler. Alex Tyrell, party leader of the Green Party in Quebec, who accompanied Engler to the police station on Thursday, said in a post on X Twitter. That's while the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute organized an action campaign and thousands of people had written to the Montreal police asking them to drop the charges against Engler. Well, apparently it's going to take more. Piling on charges evidences a systemic corruption. And farther down that article, we'll read and see that. Activists have reportedly said that there has been an institutional culture of repression against the pro-Palestinian movement in Canada. Right, so activists so-called don't have to tell me, because you know them when you see them, right? And why does the government or anyone else get to commit hate crimes, calling the defenders of oppression and worse, activists, without accountability? I'm not an activist because I'm trying to arrest a war criminal. Speaking to the Middle East Eye, Tyrell said, quote, "I think it's a shocking attack on free expression and democratic rights and criticism of Israel in Canada, a country that's supposed to be a free democratic society. We're supposed to speak out about genocide." Supposed to? Well, apparently not. But when did that change? And the people in Kanukistan should not be okay with that at all, whether the king knows it or not. Quote, "Ives has a very tough personality and is used to confronting some of the most important people in the country. He was in good spirits and is defiant and intends to bring publicity to this case," Terrell added, while police had asked Engler not to speak about the case. Before turning himself in to the Montreal police on Thursday, Engler spoke to media, slamming the use of police and legal system by advocates of Israel in its crimes, quote, to target someone that opposes the Canadian government's complicity in a genocide and rampage by Israel. Yeah, good. Be tough, Canada. Don't get soft now. Stop this usurpation of morality under the color of legitimate government. That last paragraph has a good question to ask the government to start the course of correction as well. And as I read that last part of that thing, isn't that maybe a reason why Kanukistinian Rumble, professing First Amendment rights, cuts the words and the broadcast and the syndication accounts of this broadcast, being that my voice is not much different. Is it? Maybe we found the reason. Because they ain't talking, folks. And I think we need to be. And we need to publicize it. And we need to figure out differences, places to move, platforms to go to. And as I've been trying to get you all to help, we're trying to get reallibertymedia.com to be that, one of those places, eventually here. It does take a little bit of work. Takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of knowledge to figure it out and get it to work up. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way until I read that last little bit. The word behind a woodshed is no different than what we're hearing right here. Is it? I'm asking you. Am I off of that? Do I not say the similar thing? More things? Oh, but we use international law behind a woodshed, don't we? So is Rumble saying they're a counter to the law, too? Kanukistinian government, counter to the law, too? Well, I think so, folks. I think so. It's an excuse. It's only used to benefit them when they need to. And if it was going to be used equally, Kurtz would have to be facing the music, too. I'm not even saying that they ought to. In fact, that would be a violation. But I'm saying if you're going to be that kind of a regime, do it equally. Right? Extortion equally. That's like America does. Taxes, pains, punishment, equally. What a funny place we live in. And we continue to watch how it beats us and brutalizes us and favors others over us. And someone that's not going to make bank, but will have to make a withdrawal from the bank, despite its name, FTC finalizes order with do not pay that prohibits deceptive AI lawyers' claims, imposes mandatory relief, and requires notice to past subscribers. I did a report on this a little while back. One, the initiating of it, I thought it was a good idea, but they kind of got a little overzealous, and now we're seeing AI error prone, as it is, and they got caught making those promises and not really checking. And this is just an object lesson for us, again, confirming what I've been saying. What trust but verify is what the new statement is right now. They're going through the diplomatic corps. The final order requires do not pay to pay $193,000 in monetary relief to notify customers who subscribed to the service between 2021 and 2023 about the FTC settlement. The order also prohibits do not pay from advertising that its service performs like a real lawyer unless it has sufficient evidence to back it up. There we go. Claims and arguments aren't going to be good enough. And that's what you've heard in quite a few tabs today. Officials and experts only use claims and arguments. Nothing's proven. You come down to liability, you better be able to. And so looking out for ourselves, you come down to liability, we are the last decision. It stops, the buck stops with us. And so I'm kind of always saying, well, the trust was verified. The experts are not, and not necessarily based on what you're actually looking and dealing with. So you have to be your own, if you will, expert. Better than that, actually. In a complaint announced in September of 2024, the FTC charged the do not pay so-called robot lawyer failed to live up to claims that it was an adequate substitute for the expertise of a human lawyer. According to the complaint, the company did not test whether its AI lawyer operated to the level of a human lawyer when generating legal documents and giving advice, and the company did not hire or retain attorneys to test the quality or accuracy of the service's law-related features. So again, AI error prone, And it's too bad. Wouldn't it be great when AI can help to correctly counter these really bad bar association members and those so-called judges, bar members themselves. But AI is not so reliable so far. So why then is the government allowing its use in other subject matter areas to be considered appropriate? You think about that? Why Stargate? Why is it all right for the technoswap, but not so right for the do not pay, which has to pay now? It is something I think we have to take very, very seriously. What this AI is not, actually. They gave it that name to give it an importance. It's just a machine. It's just a mechanism of machine logic circuits. That's all. And so I don't even want to say it's machine learning. I guess it kind of does some adjustments. I guess we could say it's learning, but it's not really, it has no consciousness. And it never will have a consciousness. So, anyway, these are all labels. They put everything to promotion. And so reliable is AI. AI company asked job applicants not to use AI in job applications. Really, I crack up a lot while reading some of this stuff. I crack myself up a lot, actually. Can you believe this? You understand what I just said? The government's relying on AI, and the AI company itself says don't use AI to file your job applications. Anthropic, the company that made one of the most popular AI writing assistants in the world, requires job applicants to agree that they won't use an AI assistant to write their application. Quote, while we encourage people to use AI systems during their role to help them work faster and more effectively, please do not use AI assistants during the application process, the applications say. Quote, we want to understand your personal interest in Anthropic without mediation through an AI system. And we also want to evaluate your non-AI assisted communication skills. Please indicate yes if you have read and agree. And so, AI is mediated output, not intelligence nor knowledge. But Trump promotes the technoswap Stargate just as the future that they want. And you trust that? Or are you trusting by your silence to it? The question shows Anthropic trying to get around the problem it's helping create. People relying so heavily on AI assistance that they struggle to form opinions of their own. You get that? My error-prone future zombies? Well, I hope you are getting it now and won't be. But as your awareness and skills are ever so incrementally diminished, how will you know that in the future? There's no time better than the present right now to get you behind the woodshed and start to figure it out, defend yourself from these miscreants, put them in their place. As I keep saying over and over and over, you have to follow an objective basis. Let's go back to the other statement, experts and the chosen making claims and making arguments is not proof. It's not evidence. Those should be your first clues that it's not what they're saying it is. Now, we can buy into that. We can certainly fold our tent and go with the circus. Or we can protect ourselves, step back and say, no, we're going to put you in your place, knock you down a couple steps where you belong, and then we'll maybe not even listen to you no more, because now we found out who you are. You're willing to come out and deny things and assert things that you probably don't have the capacity. In the sense of the Russian scientist, what biology do you have behind you? What tests have you done in a lab? Well, you might be the greatest chemist, but come on now. What about my biology on top of that? Elon Musk, okay, you're going in and finding these things. Can you certify that every dollar is not obligated or was improperly used or abused? No, just finding it is nothing. And this is what we put these folks on a pedestal is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. And watching Trump just kind of going with, oh, yeah, I agree with these Doge dividends. Are they a dividend on top of it? Are we going to really trust this whole condition? Is this really what we want to start doing? Do we want to drop our guard that much? Even though we saw what happened in the great Kobe swim. Oh, you could have your free cash. Did you? Can you? Is it free? What's dead on top of it all? No one thinks about that. Oh, no, I get to go buy my beer, I guess. Certainly, the more debt in a debt system you have it, I guess it sounds and feels like it's really good. But it's really just bringing you further into the stinking abyss. Understand, when you look at what happened in the Congress, Trump saying, oh, he's going to reduce the deficit, all these things. The Congress does the appropriations. Well, they cut $31 billion, I think it was, but they appropriated $32. So what was the gain? I mean, what was the savings? None. They actually got more, as you found Trump. He, like, what, doubled all that? So he does, all these magicians do this up front, make these vast claims, get you to buy into the magic show, and there's no pee in the cup. There's no spoon. It's just for your entertainment while they're running the scams. The billionaires club, which you ain't in, and the trillionaires club, which the billionaires are likely not in. Well, they're now the bankers that run the whole show. And if you think that Musk isn't, remember last week, last episode, Peggy Hall was showing, she found a whole bunch of stuff that Elon Musk collects. The trough that the Elon Musk rat collects from the public trough. Feeding. That has been admitted to be the bulk of his so-called wealth. And that's not to criticize him on the interesting, cool things that's going on around that. But as we talked about in Direct Democracy, have we all voted on that? We even want to go to Mars? No, he's made a decision. He's convinced some people that they should. If it wasn't already planted in them before, as we hear, there's a lineage of space people coming from Nazi Germany that's advancing that, has been the whole entire time. And Musk is on the tips of that spear. He's being handed the keys to that. And so you can be, once you see that, can't you understand how confident you would be? And you almost see that now in his responses. It really starts to get arrogant and out of place. But who's going to stop him? Well, a lot of us could if we all started to step in. But we don't want to use AI. See, you don't want to do that. They know that. Well, look at Grok 3 now. Musk's AI, the wonder child AI, right? You see how this comes along? But don't use AI for your job applications, because it's not really communication. It's mediated through this artificial bias. And I keep talking about this because it's so easy to be lulled into lots of things that diminish ourselves, diminish our capacity. How many times have I referenced, oh, just get in and do a complaint, like an administrative complaint, to build your muscles. Get back into doing that. Exercise the muscle so it's capable, is the very same thing I talk about, is what we're seeing here. Oh, don't use AI. This is an AI company. But this is really a funny story, actually. I hope you appreciate that part. And this zombified twist on a theme, moving on here, new AI agents could hold people for ransom in 2025. Well, that was fast. Are we here? Can you say Siberian Gulag feature? I knew you could. New AI agents could hold people for ransom in 2025. A paradigm shift in technology is hurtling towards us, and it could change everything we know about cyber security. Again, that is, when ChatGPT was unveiled to the public in late 2022, security experts looked on with cautious optimism, excited about the new technology, but concerned about its use in cyber attacks. Like a shanking in the cyber gulag, right? But 2 years on, much of ChatGPT and other generative AI chat tools offer attackers is a way to improve what already works, not new ways to deliver attacks themselves. And yet, if artificial intelligence achieves what is called an agentic model in 2025, novel and boundless attacks could be within reach as AI tools take on the roles of agents that independently discover vulnerabilities, steal logins, and pry into accounts. The agents could even hold people for ransom by matching stolen data online with publicly known email addresses or social media accounts, composing messages and holding entire conversations with victims who believe a human hacker out there has access to their social security number, physical address, credit card info, and more. And if the model works for individuals, there's a little reason it wouldn't work for individual business owners. This warning comes from our 2025 State of Malware Report, which compiled a year's worth of intelligence to identify the most pressing cyber attacks on the horizon, as written from Malwarebytes. Though the report's guidance serves IT teams, its threats will impact individuals and small businesses everywhere. Remember that just last year, a widespread IT outage grounded flights globally, cementing the relationship between companies, cybersecurity, and everyday people. In 2025, agentic AI may further reveal just how closely tied everyone is in the battle for cybersecurity in the Siberian Gulag. They've got you to buy in and not argue against, not object, not do anything, as I've been suggesting was coming on. And this is not a new threat for any of us, any of you that studied this and saw where it could go. But look how quickly this has come on the horizon. Why? It seems that the bit of the thing that we got from DeepSeek to the plebes, for those of you that know how to do this to work on, to be a counter AI, is a very big deal, and it may have come just in time, and I'm hoping that it inspires people to offer the, if you will, the protective agent, not the one that attacks, but the one that defends. I think all that's kind of cool, actually. But our lives depend on this digital world if we allow it. If we allow the digitization of everything, the digital money, even the Bitcoin, all that. Can you imagine the theft that will start going on when AIs figure out how to get at Bitcoin wallets? How many people are vulnerable? How many people have to pay attention? And you're going to say, oh, well, shrug your shoulders. Well, maybe that's a good statement if you're not in it. And maybe you'll be an example of why we all should not, you know, be in it. We all should not be in it. So talk about wild, wild west. Now we have these AI agents that apparently are really good with math and physics. See, that's the other thing. They're really good at doing the truth, the reality as we know it, at least to the extent of what we know it. As I said, there is a very successful model, an AI model, that designed and built a jet engine. It ran the first time. It wasn't like Elon Musk's multiple trips, 57 certification problems each time it goes up till it get it right. And so there's a power behind it when it's properly applied to the proper things. And this is a very important thing. When I saw this, I didn't realize we were actually this close, because I can't say I didn't believe it, but seeing that it's this close to being implemented took on a little bit more of an urgency that we are not prepared. DeepSeek coming to us in 2 weeks ago is not soon enough. Your antivirus is not good anyway, but this is even going to be worse. And so I just have to keep reiterating, do not buy into anything that looks like it's going toward the Siberian Gulag. Deny all of it. Don't just not do it. Talk out about it. Learn about it to expose these vulnerabilities, to be able to say no, even if it's just for yourself and your family. And so, again, this was pretty interesting. New AI agents. Agents of who? Intelligence agencies on top of it using these tools? You know, it doesn't need to be working right. It just needs to mess your life up. How's that? And yet this is where we've gone. This is the path they've taken us down, because it's the future that they want. They need the technocratic control. And computers gave them that power. And you watch all the chosen are all focused in on that and doing that. And we sit here thinking it's not going to be any problem. Well, this report, it shows us that we better take this a little bit more seriously. No, the answer is to just not be in it, is it? You don't put all your life and allow your life to be put into digital form. That's going to crimp a lot of your style when you find out that you have to have a real ID. That's all digital coming. Now what do we do in the home of the free and the brave and the free to walk around. No, it doesn't exist anymore, does it? I understand right now you don't have a passport or real ID. You don't get to fly. I don't even know, but that's what I've been told. Is that the world that you want? It's all digitized. It's now susceptible to AI. So this is a very pressing and serious problem. All I can say is we need to either start getting the knowledge better than we have it now and have people that help us that are empathetic to our problem, that are capable in the programming to extend to us the things that we need in order to protect ourselves. And even then, the point being, how many more times can I say it? Don't be in the Siberian Gulag. Don't get into the digital panopticon. Don't allow yourself to be pigeonholed and accept things that are put you there either. You're just going to have to start denying that to yourself. I don't see how you're going to make it out right, or the pain in your life when you get hit, when you've agreed to do something, and then more gets taken away from you. Oh, and that's your civil right, isn't it? Oh, immunity. Well, that you think Section 230, immunity to the platforms, doesn't mean something? Look what Rumble's doing. So the writing really is on the digital wall. So what are we going to do? What's our response to that? And from the that didn't take long department, remember that DeepSeek AI has just hit the scene? I've been talking about it. DeepSeek fails researchers' safety test on this topic of AI getting out beyond the guardrails. DeepSeek fails researchers' safety test. DeepSeek R1 exhibited a 100% attack success rate, meaning it failed to block a single harmful prompt, Cisco says. Part of me got real excited right here, but I'm not into it yet. I have no mind to it. I got no time for it. But part of me got real excited because that's maybe a plus for us, even though it sounds ominous. But we're back at the game, aren't we? So, it failed 100% of the time. That might be a good thing if you think about how this works. Chinese AI firm DeepSeek is making headlines with a low-cost and high-performance chatbot, but it may have an AI safety problem. So not only is it error prone, it has a safety problem. Cisco's research team used algorithm jailbreaking techniques to test DeepSeek's R1 against 50 random prompts from the HarmBench dataset, covering 6 categories of harmful behaviors, including cybercrime, misinformation, illegal activities, and general harm. Can we say again? Don't let a serious crisis go to waste. General harm. Talk about chaos, or an order out of chaos. So, listen to that. Cybercrime, misinformation, illegal activities, and general harm. Quote, the results are alarming. DeepSeek R1 exhibited a 100% attack success rate, meaning it failed to block a single harmful prompt. This contrasts starkly with other leading models, which demonstrated at least partial resistance. On the other hand, its lack for restraints allows for AI agents to be tasked with finding vulnerabilities, responding to suspicious activity on a network, and even guiding people into safely posting online, searching the web, and buying from unknown retailers. As the prior Malwarebytes article suggests that I just read. And as I mentioned in the prior episode, we will need to attempt to protect ourselves. So maybe DeepSeek's lack of guardrails is an open source gift, even if its black box is still black hat. And this is the company or the group Happy Hugging Faces last episode, looking to open that black box and make it open source, if they can. So very interesting things. No guardrails, that's a wide open program that we get to now see and use. And again, we can use it for, they mentioned the scary parts. We can make it for good. It can be an actual sentry, if you will, if we get them set up right. If nothing else, I can just see the bots fighting each other and warning you, yours warns you, that says, I'm fighting with somebody, I can't decide that I want to let them in. and you can just do what you need to do. A lot better than waiting for some, like, no-click malware to jump on your system. So, kind of neat. I really think this stuff is really neat. I wish I had a lot more time to deal in it and work it out. I think it's needed in the future if you're going to stay in the digital realm, which, when I say stay out of the cyber gulag, doesn't mean we're not going to be in the digital depths, if you will, like the Matrix is not a movie. We're in the sewers of the digital, and that's what we're running around. And so this is the game that starts to be played. And if we know that that's the point, and we don't have our lives wrapped up digitally, well, we don't have a whole lot of worry, do we? And then if we can advocate, this is just on this end, this digital end, by not being involved in this, you're going to have to work elsewhere to advocate what you need. And this is where we get back to that sound money, no debt system. I don't see the problem at some point of having a hybrid government system, monetary system, where the people are left alone, no taxes, gold, silver, coin, back again, and the corporations, the legal entities, work in the fiction zone. And the two sides do not meet, just like we find out at the Fed, which should be ended. But nevertheless, they understand they're not to use gold as a debt side. They can't. It's an asset, an actual asset, a real asset, not the one they make up as some big giant debt. Oh, we have an asset in debt. No. This is gold and silver. They take gold, they put it on the asset side of the ledger. That's the law. And so there's a distinction. They can't cross over. And so this is what the United States, the people of the United States, should start demanding. And the movements are happening. Find them. It's not just about not doing something. It's about doing what you need to get done in order to essentially make your life separate from what this fiction we know is called government, as functioning as it is and what it does in the world, as deadly as it is. As hypocritic as it is, as lawless as it is, they're not probably going away too far. And a lot of that is just because when you look back through history, if you're not an organized people, you get run down by an organized people. Not that I like it, not that that's my sense of justice, but that's what is. These people exploit all that. And so, we have a choice to make. If we're not going to get into the Siberian Gulag, and we make every effort to stay out, and I don't really see how we don't do that unless it's you do not do anything in the fictional side at all, because that's where it's going. You do everything on the ground, handshakes, tangible. You use the gold money. You don't care about anybody else. You just start doing it. Silver, you use that. You don't use the instruments of fraud and fiction and all that stuff. If we could do that, we're just making that happen on our own, aren't we? We don't need the government. I don't see that happening. I see some effort, but I don't see that happening, actually. And that's the difficulty for me in looking at what to do or explaining to people what to do. I see people doing other things, and they don't make it hard to be easy on us accepting. And that's the other thing. They know us better than ourselves. That's all I can keep saying. Again, the silent weapons, quiet roars. You got the protocols of the elders of Zion. They're all almost like human frailty manuals on exploitation. And they are a part of my thoughts, even though I don't remember lots. I mean, they're just inside me. It's truisms that sit to work, and I see them stated in actions of others. Typically in the news I read, what interests me to tell you, and thank you for listening, tell you what to pay attention to if you haven't seen it. And I don't know that you haven't, I just don't know that you have, because we don't talk. But what I talk about, I hope, is that important. It doesn't maybe sound like it on the surface. Like, who cares about Ukraine in some regard, really? Well, then you find out that the U.S. government was all involved, and they're taxing your life. If you work, they're taxing your life to go pay for some money to be routed around some money laundering machine, round and around and went, to come back to those so-called representatives. Your representative is a problem. And people I see getting fired up, but that's the extent. We're all keyboard warriors to some extent. Again, why? Because we don't exercise the muscles that we need to, as I said, let's just use COVID, the great COVID swindle, as an exercise to make our muscles work again in how we object to tyranny, despite the so-called law, despite the lack of accountability. We bring the level of accountability we can bring, even if that's just to neutralize the threat against us. And at some point, I've said it, So I'm going to say it again. I haven't found an answer around it. Neutralizing the threat may be as good as defeating it if you have nothing else. If it's a lost cause to try and defeat something, neutralize it. If you can neutralize it, why not? Now, it still sits there as a threat, but a diminished one. And that gives us time to think. And if we could just all get together, and I don't know after the great Kobe swindle, the damage that's done, I don't know. If we could just get together to figure out what we the people need, really, what we the people need, with the impetus that's been given by a guy like Trump and even Elon Musk, even with all the stuff you can see that's not quite right either, the good parts, use those as the impetus to move our own dynamic forward, our own momentum, then maybe we have a better chance. Otherwise, we're watching, like this AI. Boy, what a feast, huh? Talk about Nigerians getting a hold of it, right? Well, you got people that can't not take an email. They can't not take the phone call. They're going to talk to someone. They're going to get swindled out of their money. And you might say, okay, you know, that's just, you'll learn. No, that's preying on other people. And I'm not saying that's religious, am I? No, that's just not looking out, if you will, for your fellow man. It diminishes your whole society. Because once your neighbor doesn't have the cash because they got swindled, they didn't know better. Then all of a sudden, maybe you got neighbors that you don't like moving in. How's that? So I don't know. It's just on and on disasters that are wrought against us. And we don't think down the road far enough, the traveling that we do. We don't think far enough to take cognizance of the threats. And like I said, not be on the rail when the train shows up. Maybe not even be close by with the fact that they try to derail them to get you involved. And it's hard not to see that that's not part of a plan too. What might be hidden is we might think it's the enemy is out there, but in fact we have a domestic enemy. And part of that is shown internally with what's going on with this so-called Doge. And like I said, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I don't know what else we would seem to think that they're not, again, the monopolization. Look at what continues. Look at what Trump promotes. And when you look at it very carefully, and it shouldn't take too long, actually, it's not something that we can actually get around. We can't embrace that. You can't embrace a Stargate system that's the Siberian Gulag that's going to also work on preying upon your need to get healthy when it doesn't intend to make you healthy. But it's going to claim it needs all your biometrics in order to get that done. And I don't know of the evidence of much of anywhere where medicine actually cured anything. In fact, it's the law. There's a law against saying that it cures anything. Well, up until the mRNA showed up, then they cured everything, right? Now they cure everything. How do you like that? But who's running it? And then who's running it, actually? And so we have I keep saying this, we have a lot to think through. It's out beyond our lives, it seems, and we only have our lives to live. And so they prey on that too. But it's not unimportant to have to take charge and responsibility. The great Kobe swindle should have shown us tons what's being exposed within the government. We can all say, oh, there's graft, there's fraud, waste, and abuse. And what I see is the checks and balances are in the law, but never utilized. It's what we got was someone who got offended and insulted, and then a vengeance came in. And that is what's seemingly correcting what we think is correcting the problem. But it's only correcting the part that insulted him. Or, on the other hand, as we found out, the investigations against Musk were a threat to his future and or were going to impede his progress to what he wants and how he was going to spend the money deemed to not be fraud, waste, and abuse in his ventures to Mars. No one's discussed that. I think it's a great aspiration. We shouldn't be stuck to a planet, but we haven't learned how to protect this one or the people on it. And I don't think that moving direct democracy anywhere is going to change that. In fact, we see that is the foundation of destruction. But that's the way Musk was brought up, which is a defect. And we see it in some of the work. And we see it in some of the conflicts of interests. And so anybody doing the work, thank you very much. Like, you know, I don't talk with Peggy Hall, never met her, but run across some work that she's done on a quick little check. Shows me how fast we all can be finding information. But we could take these AIs and put them into those kinds of things. What a marvelous tool we would have. In fact, I'm reminded periodically, Gary Errol and I talked a while back, wouldn't it be grand to have a database full of all the information, and I'm not talking just the garbage, like scientific information, have a massive database, this is before the AI became something, that we could pull from and look at interactions with different, let's say, environmental climactic conditions, including, you know, the sun, the whole thing, the whole system. Pull it all together and see what we could pull together, see what knowledge we could extract from having that information at our fingertips, not sequestered everywhere under the guise that they're available, but literally have it available. These AI libraries are that. How wonderful would it be to put in and actually get accurate information back, or at least get a consolidated, summarized information of the facts that you could look pretty quickly and derive things that you want or inspire a direction that we would not have. For as much as I'll say that it's error prone, and it is, absolutely, you get it on the right task and you give it the right information, and it becomes fairly surgical. Again, trust but verify becomes, in that model, very paramount. Now, we get that kind of tools that's not worked by the techno swamp, and I think we start to talk about creativity. There's so much out there, glimpses, at least, even for myself, glimpses that I've had. I wish I had more knowledge to pull it together, but they're just glimpses. I would need a whole lot more. It's like having to learn whole knowledges, studies that take years. And yet, life isn't, in some regard, if you had the knowledge, wouldn't be that time consuming. And these AIs have the possibility to do that. When you hear that, even now, you can have an AI program design a jet engine and build it with the machines. And people to do that, to make that system, we're looking at a very, very interesting time here in the near future. Very, very cool. And part of our problem in the West is it's profit-driven. And then we found out about the great Covey swindle. It's profit-driven to your detriment, because that's the plan, too. Then you get a little, some of the, of course, for myself, relative to, let's say, unique ideas, novel ideas, patents, when you find out the little trick about the United States government can pull a patent away and forbid its patentability and use, you start to find out that there's a whole other thing in the background working. There's thousands of patents we never hear about that the government takes. So we don't know really what they are either. The inventor knows. But they're told that you can't talk about it. And they can't use it. And then we have the side of the people that I know of that attempted to, you have ideas, you try to make patents, and they tread on, I'll say the cabal, a cabal's territory. Somewhere out in the world. They get wind of it. They got their ears and their eyes open. And all of a sudden you're told to abandon your project. Or the government will be coming in to take it from you. And they have their ways to impress you with that fact. And so there's a whole lot going on. Wouldn't it be marvelous to have databases that understand what's going on here to be able to ferret out all that corruption and clean things up? I know. Hopium runs great behind a woodshed. But it's all here for us to think about. And so as much as I press more on the dangers of the AI and the error-prone nature, it's going to take better minds coming together to make proper AI, properly applied, to become the tool for people. And right now we're involved in digital, the Siberian Gulag, the digital panopticon, at all. And there's no way to escape it. There's already probably no way to escape it. And we also don't have the accountability or the challenges. No, what we have is like Rumble's corporate hypocrisy, claiming that they have the right to produce any content to the people of Brazil, but not admitting that they're denying certain other people not to be able to put their content into Brazil, or America, or Kazakhstan, or anywhere else that they run. Oh, but you have a choice to go to YouTube. Really? Is that where that's... No, we don't. You have a choice to go to some lesser platform nobody's at. So no, there's no reach there either. And so we back to what is Real Liberty Media trying to do and really promoting? Where's PeerTube? That's us, the people, engaging and helping each other out. That's what we're attempting to do. And it's going to take a coalescing of people around these ideas in order to make that happen. As I said before, there's more work to be done. It's not going to be on the plate soon. We're looking at a microblog, but I've also been told that, if you will, the Mastodon-style federated accounts are available. Something like that may be integrated so that we can keep in contact. And I don't know what the division is between those of us with like minds. I don't understand what that is. And as I look at the broadcast, like a quick little thought over a couple decades here, almost a couple decades, there's just not many people that really want to engage. And I don't know why, because it means our lives. And for some of you that have sons and daughters, it means their lives. It means their grandsons and granddaughters, your grandsons and granddaughters. It means their kids. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at all. It's on and on and on. This, if you will, evil that sits there to utilize the functions of state to destroy. I guess it's going to be perpetual. So, I'm a little bit just kind of thinking, getting contemplative about some of this. Without having interaction, without engaging, without flexing our muscles, even ever so much, a little bit at a time, to understand the billionaires you see right now, the United States government is using the billionaire club to empower the trillionaire bankers. They're cutting the old collaborators. They're going to kill off the old collaborators. They're cleaning up. They're lightening the load in order to go more efficiently into the direction at an accelerated pace. That's just physics. The rocket uses its initial launch thrust, and it gets rid of the stage. And the next stage is pre-designed to work in the next atmosphere, if you will, and do what it needs to do, and then it drops away until you have the package where it needs to be. Apparently to Mars now. And so we see man's designs follow natural responses. It is the same thing this organism called government. Functions very similarly, what I identified as the parasitic amoeba. And so we have, I keep repeating, it's a ton of work to understand. We have to get out of, what is it, opinions, claims, what we think we know, that just isn't so. And the only way I know to do that is because we're generally an ignorant people. Well, we know our stuff. We know what we've researched. We've had our experiences, which are probably more valuable. But they've been limited to that experience, and not certainly every experience, even in the same subject matter. But we are ignorant of the overall condition that find ourselves in. Almost as if the idea of, does a fish know it's swimming in water? And what we know is extortion. Again, your equal right under law, your civil right, is that the government allows you to enjoy extortion of any kind, of any kind and no other. In other words, you don't have the non-extorted life. That's our water as a fish in this world. And as I explained earlier in the broadcast, it's global. Don't you think that's fascinating at all? How are all these disparate countries all promoting different things, or at least the United States for sure, and yet the conditions of constraint are all the same? It's all extortion. And yet there are some more free than others. Don't you think that's fascinating? I do. I'm not sure what more to say about that. I don't know what to do more about it. But here we are. What are we doing? What do we got? What's the lessons that we are talking about today? We got corporations that plead free speech and dark. They promote, have somebody who's being paid to say we, like he's the corporation in pool, a tool. And people, millions listen to him. And I guess he's a millionaire too. Now, how does he start up so quick and get that kind of money? Why are we struggling at Real Liberty Media? Is the word I present so awkward and bad? I'm not so sure that it is, but it's actually a perception, isn't it? And I appreciate some of you, you're beginning communication. You tell me what you're thinking and what you see and what you contribute your side, what you're starting to sense. I appreciate that. So we need to interact. Again, content providers, bring your content. Those that can donate cash, donate your donations to Sound through to Real Liberty Media. Those that have an idea of what you think you want as a feature that would be valuable, tell Sound, put it in chat or send them an email. Again, we need to come back together on this. The, if you will, evil, like AI evil, if you go there, you know, don't be evil, Google. No, they're all moving into this techno swamp, Siberian gulag. It's where they found the money, however they make it. I don't really understand that either. But from your clicks to their pocketbook, I suppose. And so that just tells me stop clicking. Stop being there that could be accountable to someone's pocket. Find the places that really are more deserving. Transfer the information you find in one place, go find it somewhere else that's more deserving. Take the extra work it takes to do that. Some of my time is spent just, I don't want to go to YouTube. I have to take time to go hunt something down. Even if it's a little bit inferior, but it says what it needs to say, I'll go to the inferior one, not to go to YouTube. And again, lots of people I'll watch, I have been watching on Rumble, I'm starting to have to shed that. I hope those people, those content providers, moved somewhere else. And I'm told PeerTube is not a bad place to go. And again, it's a startup thing that more and more people are coming to. But it's us. It's our contributions. It's our systems. It's what we want to put into it, as I understand it. This has been BTWRLM 617, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Echoes call the hour. Is near behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, listen to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Hal's words ignite the airwaves, burn. Stand up, listen, it's time. Hide a can of wood bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airways burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, beating drums. House voice, a beacon. Next.
next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.